Hi there, Craig Wilkinson. Welcome to another episode of Dangerous But Good. This is going to be a fantastic episode. I have a friend, a colleague, beautiful young woman who I'll be talking to. Her background is digital marketing. She's a strategist, a marketer, but lots of very strong ideas. And I tremendously respect and admire her wisdom and her insights. And we're going to be talking about some very interesting topics around masculinity and dating and what do women want from men, what they don't want from men. But Camille, welcome. Good to have you on board.
Thank you, Craig. That was quite an intro. Thank you.
Good to have you.
It's an honor to be here. It's a pleasure.
We've had lots of chats about men, dating, masculinity. I mean, one of the things we talked about is the fact that one, and before we get into masculinity, one is a whole number, isn't it? You know, a lot of people in the dating scene are just, you know, I need somebody. I'm incomplete without someone. And you and I have had the conversation that no one can complete you, man. You are complete.
Yes.
And you've discovered that. I mean, you've embraced that very well, haven't you?
That has been a large, I think, part of my journey over the last maybe couple of years when it comes to understanding that you don't need another person to, make you whole.
Exactly.
That's a big part, and you are
And so many people can't be alone. Eh?
Yeah.
I mean, I've experienced this in my past. A lot of friends, male and female, they just cannot be alone. They're just unhappy. And what's interesting is the more happy you are as one, the more attractive you are. Because you're totally not needy, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, desperation can be smelled from a mile away. I think that's that's true for men and women.
Very much so. That neediness.
Eh? Yeah. You can smell it from a mile away.
Yeah. So, the most attractive a person can be is when they are most secure in and of themselves.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
And that comes across. But you raised an interesting point earlier. You know, it kind of works around the element of seduction, we talked about that before the podcast, I mean, seduction is not a good thing, is it? I mean, seduction is I'm putting on a face, I'm putting on some kind of act to get you, to get what I want out of you. And it's not authentic and it's not real. And I think the more needy we are, the more we resort to those kinds of things to try and get somebody. But, I read this interesting thing. Someone was asking young kids, what do adults do on their first date? And the one young kid, I don't know, he was 8 or 10, he said, they tell just enough lies to get a second date. It's quite true, isn't it? We act. And I think, you've certainly got to that place of deep, honest authenticity. Like it all, this is who I am. I'm not going to act and pretend. Yeah.
I mean, what we were saying earlier on, seduction is manipulation.
It is.
I think at some point you can smell it from a mile away and people can only pretend for so long.
Yeah.
And I think even in ourselves, we can only pretend for so long.
Yeah.
And I think the most authentic thing you can do is if someone doesn't like you, then it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And I actually watched a video this morning and this person said the difference between love and lust is that lust looks like love until you need to sacrifice.
Because it's essentially selfish.
So at that point where someone's not willing to sacrifice, you know that it's not love.
Right.
And you can, that's the line with seduction and actually being authentic and stepping forward in an authentic way. And
lust is never satisfied, is it?
No.
I mean, if you're going for something, money, someone once asked the richest guy in America, I think it was Rockefeller, he says, how much is enough? Because it just kept getting more and more. And his answer was just a little bit more. I've never got enough. And the same applies to relationships, hey? I mean, you get players that then, because they're in it for the wrong reason, because they're insecure, because they needed to complete them, it can never work. It can never be enough.
There's the male and there's the female side of things. And I think on both ends, it's a game. Dating has become a game.
Yeah.
For men, they want something specific. And then women, they also want something specific. And it's obviously different for everyone. And I can only kind of like speak for myself and a lot of, my friends maybe, in terms of what they're looking for in the dating pool that's not manipulation, that's not, something in the short term. And that's not easy to find, especially for our generation. It's not easy to find.
So is the dating pool tricky at the moment? Is it rocky and full of sharks? And
I think a lot of women and men, will agree that yeah, it's rough out there. it's rough out there.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times, you know, if you want something short term, you can find it.
Sure, sure.
There are ways for you to go about finding it. And I think even with regards to the different expectations that we have of one another, I do think that in a very big way, they're unrealistic as well. Certainly with certain things that women expect from men, and maybe even what men expect of women in today's society. And I can only obviously speak from a female perspective. If you're running after money, if you are looking for someone to support your lifestyle, the reality is you're getting into a very, very dangerous power dynamic with a man.
Right.
It just is what it is.
What, because you become a dependent then?
Craig, if I am giving you money, that's uneven in terms
right,
of
right.
The,
you owe me. Yes. I give you. I pay for a meal. You owe me sex. Whatever.
That's
just
how it works.
Basically, yeah, right, right.
That is, I think, one of the things that scares me about the dating pool. Is that now men actually lead with that,
right?
And they think that that is actually what women are looking for, and they are definitely women that do that. And I think my heart is really to think about the fact that, or rather, to firstly discourage younger women from going in that direction. Because a lot of people are not honest about what actually comes with getting into those types of power dynamics.
Right.
And they're not honest about what actually happens, because now this man controls you.
But, you know, I mean, this is a very good segue or foundation into the conversation we really wanted to have, and that's what makes a man a good man? What is true, authentic masculinity? And, I mean, authentic masculinity would never, ever use money to get what they want.
Yeah.
Authentic masculinity would always be loving and want to give the best for the other person, not use what I've got, you know, whether it's physical power, whether it's monetary power, whatever the case may be, or positional power. You'd never want to use that to abuse your situation. Talk about that. You know, you've talked a lot about biblical masculinity.
Yes.
And that's how do we get men to be good men, and what is a good man?
And I think that's what we were – just before the podcast started, and I kind of fleshed out, or rather mentioned what I, you know, my passions, you know, that I think part of my advocacy for gender-based violence is that I believe that men 100% have the answers to actually ending this. I believe that they are literally the key to stopping this. However, we need our agenda on their heart. And that is not the case. I think men have been pushed into a corner where self-preservation is what they're kind of riding on, where as long as I'm not an abuser, it's okay.
Right.
And for me, I'm like, no, my role is, and as I said to you, I think our relationship is to lift hands. Like Moses got tired and Aaron was there going, you need to do this.
Right.
We need you to do this. Otherwise, this is not going to self-correct.
Right.
So for me, masculinity, the standard is always going to be the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the servant who was dangerous, but washed feet.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to, and as I said to you, in terms of what that hand lifting situation looks like, it's not me telling men how to be men or me saying that this is how you need to be a man, but it's more, there is a blueprint as a man who follows the Lord. You know exactly what is required and what he requires of you from a masculinity perspective.
Yep.
And my role is to encourage you to walk in that and to say we need that.
Right.
We need men to take their position as protectors. And yes, you know, I understand the men are trash narrative. I get it. I get it. However, I don't think it's helpful.
Yeah.
As I said, you push men into a corner where self-preservation.
They behave worse.
Yes. Yes, and they don't want to step forward and actually take accountability for stopping what's happening.
Yes.
So when it comes to biblical masculinity, I think it's servitude first and foremost.
Whatever strength I have is there to serve.
Yes.
Yeah. But I love that story. I mean, the Christian narrative, God incarnate, the most powerful being in the universe. What did he do? He got on his knees and he washed feet. I mean, it's mind-blowing. The most power being the most servant.
Yeah.
And that really is the model, isn't it, for masculinity. Whatever power I have, And for women too, you know, I mean, women have, definitely. Look, I mean, beauty is power, let's be honest. In this world, beauty is power. Women increasingly are having high power jobs, et cetera. So, I mean, both men, but men have tended to abuse that power, physical strength, monetary strength, not to serve, not to give, not to love, but to take. So, sorry, I interrupted you, but I just, it's such an important story that.
And that's a good point when it comes to, I think, specifically in the realm of gender-based violence. Naturally speaking, a man is physically stronger than you. You're a walking weapon.
Yeah.
You're dangerous. And I think, and I mean, we have this discussion all the time when it comes to fatherhood and not actually having someone that's already walked that journey, that journey to rein in or tame that dangerous side. They know how to handle their anger, their temper. And we can say that a large part of it is social conditioning. However, you're still a walking weapon and you need to know how to control that.
Very much so.
To understand that that physical strength in itself, it needs to be for protection. You need that rollback in society as a protector. And I think what we do when we continue to bucket all men is that we isolate the ones that can actually do something about it. And I think with a lot of the men in my life, I try and speak life into them. I try and be super encouraging. I try and make sure they know how much I appreciate them. And this is like my dad, my uncles, my friends, and you as well. Like I hype you up so much. It's not even funny because I understand the importance of that.
What you're saying is so beautiful because if I had to just add to what you're saying is, as women, and we need this, you know, someone once said, you know, the thing that men crave and desire most from women is not what you think it is. You know, it's not sex, it's respect. So the thing for a woman is to respect and honor good, true masculinity, but at the same time to call out false, bad, wrong masculinity.
Yeah.
So never tolerate false masculinity. Never, ever. I mean, put a line and say, it's just not okay. But if you put all men, as you say, in one bucket of abusers and trash, men have this craving, good men have this craving to be honored and respected and to be given, to, you know, to have their hands lifted up, as you're saying. It's lovely. And if women can do that, but I mean, men need to step as well and hold each other accountable. You know, if I see my brother behaving bad, I need to say, dude, that is not okay, man. You know, sexist, racist, whatever jokes, you know, behavior, call it out, man. So that both men and women are operating together, honoring true masculinity, but calling out false masculinity. And that's, I think, when we begin to see a shift in society.
Definitely. And I mean, the biggest thing, Craig, is that men don't have the female agenda on their heart. They don't. Because if they did, they would be at the forefront of these gender-based violence movements.
Why do you think they don't?
I think it's the self-preservation aspect.
Right.
Because
defensive.
Yes, it's a form of defense, and I don't think it helps the conversation at all to continue putting every single man in the same bucket.
I don't think it helps
the conversation. No. And I also know, and I think in one of your books, I can't remember which minister actually wrote. Was it Mampela?
Yes,
where she said this issue is not going to self-correct, and it's not going to.
No.
I think men need to have the female agenda on their heart.
Very much so.
And without that, it's not going to happen. I honestly believe that if enough men understood that there are millions of women, I think I look at it from a Christian perspective. I think the beauty of belonging to the body of Christ is that I've got a brother in Christ and I can come to you and I can call you higher and I can say, this is the standard you're supposed to be adhering to. I need you to do that.
Yes.
This is what the Lord has put you on earth to do. I need you to do exactly that.
Yes.
And yes, the world might say you're trash, but as your sister in Christ, I'm saying, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this is what the Lord said about you.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what it means to be a man.
And you know, that makes men come alive. It really does. It makes men swell and say, I really want to, I'm motivated to be that man, to be that right man. I want you to be safe in my presence. I want to be the man that God made me to be for you and for every other woman. You know, this is what, you know, we talked about this before the God. The word feminism is such a controversial word. But true feminism is men and women standing together in their humanity, fighting for each other, fighting for equal rights, equality, equal value. That's what true feminism is. And that's when men fight for women, for their rights, for their safety, for their humanity, for who they are.
Yeah.
And women do the same for each other and for men. And it's a beautiful thing. The problem is we become so polarized that, you know, feminism can go horribly wrong where it actually begins to hate men and vilify men. Mm. And that becomes a real problem. And men do the same. Men retreat into this defensive mode of, oh, you think I'm trash? Well, I might as well be trash.
Yeah.
It's anti-humanity, isn't it?
You know, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why I believe worldview is also a very important thing. So from my perspective, my baseline, I've got a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go left or right. As soon as I moved away from that biblical worldview, my ideas started contradicting each other.
Right.
Things just didn't make sense in terms of what I was standing for. And you can very quickly trickle into misandry as a woman, extremely quickly.
Right.
So from my perspective, my worldview tells me you as a man are made in the image of God.
Mm.
And you were created in his image and you've got a role, but so do I.
Mm.
And they are equally as powerful.
100%.
Maybe a year ago, mm-hmm. I would have considered myself an atheist until I went and I analyzed quite a few things in terms of things that contradict each other.
Right.
Understanding your value. Like I could not find any other worldview or outlook on life placing an importance on my life as an individual without needing to do anything in society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what men need. Like you don't get value based on
what you do,
how much you earn,
yeah.
all of these other things. And I don't think men realize that.
No, we don't. I mean, the world does judge us on what we earn, on the image, on the car we drive, on the woman on our arm. I mean, that's how the world judges us and often how we judge ourselves. But if you're able to judge yourself by the fact that you are created in the image of God, someone unique with a unique calling and purpose, man, out of that comes great things, but for the right reason.
Yes, for the right reason. And you also don't get, I think, wounded masculinity. I think you say this all the time. Wounded masculinity is dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
It's not masculinity.
No.
Wounded masculinity comes from your upbringing.
Yeah.
No man is born an abuser.
No.
No boy is raised to be an abuser. It's a result of circumstances, your life, and then you encounter the world and they tell you you're not good enough and that you're not enough. And then you encounter more people and you see men are doing better than you. They're getting more girls than you are. And then you automatically start to create these additional cognitive biases that define your life. And then you become angry and bitter because, that's what you're exposed to. But then to break it down, to go back to the fact that outside of absolutely everything external, you still have value.
And if you've got that, you know, that is the route to healing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got this group you call the incels. I mean, it's a group of very angry men who, you know, it stands for involuntary celibate, you know, who feel like women are rejecting them and no one likes them and they, you know, so they become absolutely angry, toxic against women. You have the misandrist, as you said, you know, women who perhaps have had a bad experience with men or viewed someone else, and they view all men as evil and toxic and bad. And, you know, I mean, these are not helpful, are they?
No.
You know, we need to understand the hurt that an incel feels, you know. Maybe by societal standards, he's not very attractive and he's not getting the love he wants. I mean, but so there's hurt there. There's pain. You know, society's been cruel to that person. But we need to bring healing and restoration and the fact that that person is valuable and has a beauty.
If we don't, we get gender-based violence. That's the backlash, the reality of it.
Polarization leads to hate. Hate leads to anger. Yes. Anger leads to violence, abuse. You know, all the things that we're seeing in the world that are wrong. A sense of identity, love for self, love for others. These are the things that bring healing to the world.
Yes. And I think, as I said, for me, the biggest thing is on both ends, we are all hurting.
Mm. We've all had a journey. Huh?
It's a byproduct of fallen world.
The world we live in.
That we live in. Yeah. Like there it's is brutal. Pain.
It's brutal. It's a brutal world.
Yeah. And, you know, for women, I think we are more likely to gravitate towards community and towards each other and rely on each other. And there's a sense of belonging that I think a lot of women, we naturally have. Men don't have that in the way that we do.
No.
So your healing takes place in isolation from what I've seen. And that's why I think what you guys do is so important at Father Nation, actually having these discussions with men, sitting with people who are potentially the perpetrators.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what that conversation, just that one day, that man offloading, who would have never, ever spoken to anyone about the situation. You don't know what that could have prevented when he got home.
Well, Camille, we've seen that, you know. I mean, and I love what you're saying about that difference between men and women. Women naturally open up, share, communicate. You know, I mean, two women can meet each other.
Within an hour,
there's tears, you're bonding, you know each other. You know, two men can meet each other. 3 days later, all they know is which soccer team they support. You know, I mean, there's just no depth to that conversation.
Yeah.
But we do this dialogues in communities, and some of the results have been mind-boggling. And men are saying, we've never, ever been able to share this. We've never been able to talk, because the expectation of a man is to be strong, stoic, never be weak, never be vulnerable, you know. Whereas society has given women permission to do that. It hasn't given men.
The downside of social conditioning in terms of raising boys and girls in different ways.
So by getting men to talk, you know, men are human too. So, you know, I mean, we hurt, we feel, we mourn, we cry. You know, look at a man and a woman after a breakup. I mean, the man, you know, often gets out there, gets drunk, you know, he goes crazy. And then 3-4 months later, he's still hurting and damaged and crying, you know. The woman's processed and kind of moved on a bit, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And but we need each other, don't we?
No, we do.
And that's the beauty of what you're saying. I mean, when the masculine and the feminine operate together in a dance, in a respectful, loving dance, man, magic happens, eh?
Magic happens. Would never want men to disappear. Like, there's like, masculinity in itself is beautiful.
It is.
Makes you feel safe.
Mm.
And the reality is that there are evil people in the world, and you need someone equally as strong to be able to.
Yeah.
And yes, we're not fighting lions and tigers and bears and stuff like that. I get that. However, that's just the reality.
Well, we're fighting hate. We're fighting polarization. We're fighting lies. We're fighting abuse. There's so many battles. Fighting fatherlessness, fighting breakup of families. I mean, there's so many battles that need to be fought.
And honestly, everything that you just mentioned, men are literally the solution. They need that agenda on their hearts. And I think that's, as I said, my take on this is that self-preservation has taken precedent.
Mm.
And I think that needs to stop.
But you're doing a beautiful thing, Camille. I mean, you're calling out a high standard in men, but at the same time honoring them, saying, we need you, we love you, you're valuable, you're a crucial part, life can't be the same without you. You know, and men need to hear that. But at the same time, you're saying, dude, we need you, but we need you to be good.
Yes.
We need you to love, to serve, to honor, protect, you know, this is what we need. And I think that message from woman, which you're embodying so well today, I must just say, is healing and beautiful. Because a lot of men feel, you know, a lot of men are living in shame, and sometimes not even shame of themselves, but secondhand, you know, you get secondhand smoke, you get secondhand shame as well. Yeah. You know, men are thinking, well, we're trash, we're bad, you know, and as you said earlier, when you put a man in that box, he just comes out swinging. He's either going to turn to drugs, sex, or some kind of addiction, or he's going to become aggressive and abusive.
Yes.
And when we as men and women love, honor, respect each other for who God made us, wow.
I mean, if we don't coexist, like, we're going to cease to exist. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Like, we need each other to not procreate. That's not like the reason we need each other. But the fact that it was meant to be, both of us need to be here in order.
And bringing different, know? Well, I like what you said there, coexist or don't exist.
Yeah. Hey, that's
can I use that?
Yeah. Write that down. But it's difficult to be able to hold two thoughts in your head at once sometimes if you're hurting. From a female's perspective, yes, I think every single woman has gone through some traumatic experiences with men in South Africa. I think the stats speak for themselves.
They do, sadly.
And to be able to sit here and say, I know that those men that did what they did, I know they were not born that way.
Hmm.
And understanding that I'm going to have a son one day, and how will he perceive his own masculinity? Mm. Is he going to grow up in a society where he's othered? I don't want that for him.
Sure.
I don't want that for him. I want him to know that it is beautiful. Yes. And hopefully whoever his dad is will be able to model that.
Yes.
I'll have a daughter as well. And the daughter, my daughter essentially needs to grow up in a society where she's protected and she's safe.
Yes.
But then my son needs to understand he is a protector and that's his role. And even though this might be years from now, those are the things that fuel my passion for actually having these discussions and wanting to be part of the solution.
Yes.
And lifting hands and,
fantastic.
And encouraging men. Like, we need you to step up. Mm. We need you.
Well, power to you in that mission. We need you too. And we want you. And you need us. And what? I mean, these kind of things should be obvious.
Yes, should be. It shouldn't be a taboo topic.
I mean, it's just how it is. It's the design of the universe. Power is an interesting thing too. You know, I recently did a TEDx talk talking about power. And, you know, people often blame differentials in power for all the evils in the world. And yet differentials in power are baked into the nature of the universe. You know, a man gets married to a woman. The man generally, 99%, is physically stronger than the woman. That's an imbalance of power, but it's not a bad thing. It's only bad if he misuses it. It's bad if he uses that to, I mean, absolutely. Two people get into a relationship, one inevitably would be earning more than the other.
Yeah.
Could be the man or the woman. That's an imbalance of power, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not bad. Only if the person uses it to manipulate, you know. Yes. So power imbalances are actually baked into the nature of the universe, but they come with responsibility.
Yeah.
And one needs to lovingly use whatever, you know, be grateful for whatever power I have.
Mm-hmm.
Use it for good, to love, to serve. You know, that's the key. And man, if we just get that right. I want to ask you a question, you know, as we begin to wrap up. You know, for the guys out there, you're a young woman, beautiful young woman. What do you look for in a guy? Because, you know, a lot of guys get it wrong. And look, there's a lot of confusion with men out there. You know, do I open the door for her? Oh, no, she's going to be offended because she can also open the door. I mean, there's a lot of confused men because, you know, what do we do? You know, so give us a few tips about what makes a good man. What do you find attractive in a man?
I can literally only speak for myself.
No, absolutely.
So, Craig, for me, the standard is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I need to see fruit of a spirit. Funny enough, I don't care if you suck at planning dates. I don't care. I am not someone that also cares for fancy gifts, all of those things. And I don't say that to say, oh, those things are downplayed. I'm like, no, the bar is much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with all those nine fruits of the spirit. Because, I mean, if we're hitting gentleness, kindness, if we're hitting self-discipline by virtue of mentioning self-discipline, that is, you know how to work. You can do what you need to do. Someone that will not hinder my walk with the Lord. That is the biggest thing, I think, for me. And then the other stuff is I can add on. And I don't say this as like, I don't care about like additional things like looks and stuff like that. However, based on my worldview, as I said, that is the base.
It goes much deeper than gifts and looks. And
way deeper. Yeah. And I mean, even financially, like you could be with a rich man. He could lose his money tomorrow and then what?
Sure, sure. So, I mean, those inner qualities, which gentleness, kindness, goodness, patience, love for you and affirming who you are as a woman and what your heart's desires are, what matters to you.
I need to add something quickly. Mm. Whatever I'm suggesting, whatever I'm asking for, I believe that I need to bring that to the table
That's fantastic. You know, like it's a two-way street.
So 100% it's a two-way
street. Yeah.
I'm not going to request something that I can't
fantastic.
Deliver on myself.
Yeah.
But that's me. And funny enough, that's harder to find.
Mm-hmm.
That is so much harder to find than there's plenty of people with
the superficial stuff.
There's loads of them.
Yeah.
Find a man that genuinely loves the Lord.
Yeah.
And that is willing to lay down his life for you, willing to sacrifice, knowing that I will do that in return 100%.
Fantastic. Well, what a partnership that is, eh?
So that's not easy.
No, that's not easy, but it's worth pursuing and it's not worth compromising on either.
No.
Fantastic.
Not at all.
Well, power to you and may God bring you, such a man soon. Yeah.
I hope so. Consult the Lord first before you try.
So Camille, again, I said this to so many guests, but you're a dangerous woman. you know, you're gentle, you're kind, you're, you know, physically not imposing. I mean, although, you know, I know you lift some good weights there. Yeah.
I'm getting biceps.
That's great. But you're dangerous. And I think you're dangerous to toxic masculinity. You're dangerous to toxic femininity too. You're dangerous to the things that are bad for relationships, bad for peace, bad for so keep it up. Keep up the danger.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Craig.
Great chatting to you, and I'm sure we'll do it again.
Definitely.
Yeah. Awesome.